We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
For this contest to win a trip to Canton to see the actual enshrinement.
Okay, and that website address one more time for the people?
ProFootballHOF.com.
All right, go vote for our boy. While you're there, vote for our boy. And also, if you have some extra time on your hands, feel free to slide into his Wikipedia page. If anyone can come up with something more creative than that's already there, we would appreciate it. You got people on the Chilton Auto Body text line that are talking about how they're going to go in there. Favorite food, grilled cheese. Favorite drink, chicken milk.
It's great.
There are some really clever people that are going to mess that Wikipedia page up good.
Thanks for inviting him, Joe.
Says he's from born in Baja, California, Mexico.
Actually, I don't know if this is worthy of the breaking news sounder, but your birth city has been reset. It's now listed as Lemoore, California. So for the time being, you're no longer a Mexican American.
They fixed it?
Well, yeah.
Still,
it's part of the billions, Coach.
Wikipedia listens. Yeah. Shout out Wikipedia.
Actually put Hanford, California. That's the birth, was in Hanford.
No, there you go.
We didn't have a hospital in Lemoore.
Give the good people 7 minutes. I'm sure this will be updated.
If
that's updated in 7 minutes, seriously, whoever does that, I might even buy them lunch. I'll actually go in.
I'll buy you dinner if you go in there and you have it say the moo and get me a screenshot.
No.
I'll buy you dinner.
Don't put that out there. Yeah, but
it's already out there. I can't take that back.
Yeah, so we didn't have a hospital dibs in Lemoore. So Hanford. That's,
the jokes write themselves. That's gold. Hanford because the moo didn't have a hospital.
That's gold. Absolute gold.
Did they have a manger? Maybe you could have been born.
No, there's a lot of people that just had the midwives. So a lot of people were born at home, at their own homes in Lemoore. No, seriously, not a big deal. Just have the baby at the house.
That's not the part I'm laughing at. Like you're sitting there explaining it. All right, Patrick Willis, Hall of Fame, yes or no? 888-957-9570. He's on the ballot with everybody's favorite fullback, none other than Darryl the Moose Johnston. Also, Lowe's on the list too. As we have a good time with it. But go over and vote. Jokes aside, we're all having fun with this. That's the beauty of Lowe, is that he rolls with the punches and always has a good time with this stuff. But if you have the chance, go to the website and vote. Nice guy. You're waving furiously back there. What's going on?
You can go to our Twitter page, at Joe Lowe and Dibs. I recorded my screen on my phone, a way you can go and vote. It'll just show you. It has a video, and it plays the exact way you can go to your phone and cast your vote on your own phone. So that's at Joe Lowe and Dibs.
And if I don't have time for all that, could you just post the link?
Yeah, I could do that too.
Yeah, let's also do that.
If I don't have time to watch,
you got a whole tutorial video on how to do it.
Yep, 2019, son.
It's great. It's a video of how you do it on the video. And so we videoed a video,
and then Joe just said, "Can you just post a link?"
Seriously,
he looked up and he said, "Well, I mean, I guess I could do that, but it's not as cool."
Okay,
not
man.
Spencer in Oakland. Spencer, welcome to the show. Patrick Willis, is he a Hall of Famer?
Well, I mean, I think he's a Hall of Fame talent, but I don't believe he's a Hall of Famer. I think he's got a couple things. Of course, the lack of longevity in the league, and then the lack of team hardware. He's got a lot of personal hardware, but especially, your middle linebacker on the defense, he's supposed to make the whole team better. I would like to see some team hardware, specifically a Super Bowl, for him to be able to get in. I mean, that's the only thing he's missing. I think to get in with that few years, you really have to be a transformational player, and transformational players win Super Bowls.
Appreciate the phone call. I respect the argument. I hate the argument. I hate that. If you're the best defensive player on the best defense in the league, but you don't win a Super Bowl because your offense is terrible, why should you be punished for that? Right? Like, the Hall of Fame is an individual honor that should focus on your individual achievements. Now, sure, it helps for a quarterback if he's got 3 Super Bowls and came up in big spots. I get that. But I don't want to punish Willis because he didn't win a Super Bowl, right? Like, that seems like it's a bit of a strong criteria. If you have to have the team success, then you're dependent upon everybody else.
Right, especially in a sport where it's you among 22.
It's not tennis.
If Khalil Mack continues to have the career he has and he keeps Mitchell Trubisky, what are we going to say? Get him in the Hall of Fame or not?
Right.
I did Chicago radio this morning. They are furious. Apparently, listen to this. So Trubisky has a bad game. Everyone's up in arms because they lose to the Packers. Then this week, the media was trying to ask Trubisky about it because it's the number one story. And Trubisky said something like, I've been advised to stop talking about the Packer game. So then the media is like, what's that all about? So then they're asking the coach and everyone else. And the coach comes out. He's like, I don't know where he got that from. I didn't tell him to stop talking about the Packers. They've just got this whole problem on their hands.
They left him out to dry, hung him out like that?
Well, apparently someone told him, stop talking about the Packer game. And then he, media, in his infinite wisdom, told the media, I've been told to stop talking about the Packer game rather than doing what a quarterback's supposed to do. Finesse it.
Right.
Finesse just it. Dodge the question. Yeah. Again, you're not up on the stage being asked about gun reform and all these other things that the candidates are being asked to do. You're just being asked about the Packers.
Right. That's it.
Right?
That's
you know, it. I played poorly. I'm looking ahead to Denver. Is that so hard?
No, it's not.
It's a really easy job when you think about it. For a football player to answer football questions, that's not that big of an ask.
Yeah. And we got the billions. Trubisky, if you're listening, you go up there and say, I haven't been able to sleep at night. And you know what? Guys, I haven't been able to sleep at night.
I'm constipated.
Wait.
I'm so upset about what happened against the Packers.
I can't wait to get back on the field.
I can't get on the toilet,
coach.
I'm stuck. And then it's like, man, this guy's just, he wanted to be the Packers so bad, it's manifesting itself physical ways.
Right. I'm sick. My bowels are backed up. I'm
locked up. Bowel lock.
You got me locked up.
Totally. I got bowel lock.
He's all locked up. All you have to say is, you know, you do what Belichick does, which is you focus on the next opponent. You know, you're moving forward, Seattle, Miami, whatever it is.
It's pretty easy.
Don't ever look back, you know? Don't ever look back. Always look forward.
And if you want to, go ahead. Just say something like, they played really good. Tip of the hat. They had a really good game. Yeah. You know, I've just got to get better. I've got to learn from it.
Absolutely.
It's easy.
Joe, you just gave it to him. You're right, Dibs. Don't look back. Solomon Gamai, Lot's wife, she looked back. She turned into a pillar of salt. Don't look back.
Who?
Lot was his name. Lot, L-T.
Lot.
L-O-T. Lot.
Ronnie Lot.
Not Ronnie.
No, this is a biblical L-O-T.
Yeah.
Not L-O-B, Richard Sherman, Legion of Boom.
Yeah,
this is L-O-T,
So Dibs talked about don't look back, and I'm talking about the Bible. There was Solomon Gamai, city of Solomon Gamai, and Lot's wife, she was told not to look back. She looked back, turned into a pillar of salt. So Dibs' thing was just...
Pillar of salt.
Yes, pretty much. Don't look back. Means keep pressing forward. I just was tying it
in. No, I appreciate that.
Yeah,
I appreciate
that was awesome.
That.
I find myself wanting more and more to vote for Larry Centers as this conversation goes on. Larry's not going to tell me about turning into some pillar of salt.
No. No.
Jose in San Jose.
Oh, Lord.
Jose, welcome to the show. Patrick Willis, is he a Hall of Famer?
Hands down, no questions asked. The man was dominant. He was strong. He took it to everybody. He laid the wood every week, week in, week out. Didn't ask no questions. Brought that defense to a higher level. You know, there's really no question. The guy gave it all on the field, and because his career was cut short because of his injuries, I don't think they should keep him out of the Hall of Fame.
Appreciate the phone call. I didn't catch all of it.
What's
I'm
so
currently
funny?
On Lowe's Wikipedia page. It says you are from the Moo, California now. I'm taking a screenshot so that it will be preserved forever. It's out. You're down to 256.
This is not. I got to find out how to stop this.
Picture
this
taken.
Is crazy.
Picture taken. It's in red, too. The Moo is all capitalized. T-H-E regular and then Moo, M-O-O, all capitalized.
How can someone
they
do
got
this?
You.
This is crazy.
This is crazy.
Dibs, how is this possible, man?
It's www. It's the World Wide Web, but it's also the Wild Wild
this
West.
Is false.
The greatest show ever.
But people are putting out false stuff. This is not cool, bro.
Well, wait a minute. If Lee Moore's known as the Moo and you were born Lee Moore, it's not necessarily false information.
The Moore is not known, whatever you say it is, whatever that word you say, and is hampered. But it's crazy that someone's able to put that up there. That's just false information.
This is fascinating.
You know, it's not fascinating. It's a lie.
It's just a website. It's not like this is the Social Security Administration, and all of a sudden now you're not going to be able to get your driver's license because your birth city's been changed.
But people don't even know. That place doesn't even exist.
I'm going to blow this screenshot up to the size of the Transamerica building, and then I'm going to pay to have it put on the Transamerica building, and it's going to be there forever. Your Wikipedia screenshot of you from the Moo. It's got your age right, and your height and your weight right, and your position right, and it's a picture of you. So people are probably going to use the context clues and assume you are from the Moo, California.
And I wonder if the NFL and the Hall of Fame won't update their location on where he's from
and
change it from Baja California, Mexico to simply the Moo.
This is so good. It's like go in and mess his profile up as much as you can and
you
take
doing?
Screenshots. And
what?
The most creative stuff will hand out prizes.
Not
Come
bad.
On. Doesn't some small part of you want to see how creative they can get?
It's great.
Someone got it in all red letters, too. That's the best part. Are you seeing this right
yes,
now?
Yes, and then you refresh it, and it changes back to Hanford. So there's like a tug of war going on right now between...
His name is Lorenzo Grilled Cheese Neal.
His account's going to get suspended, and the Hall of Fame's going to knock him off the ballot.
Exactly. That's what you guys are doing.
Too many shenanigans.
Guys, this is crazy.
In the Lone Neal Wikipedia page today.
Lorenzo Grilled Cheese. I mean, this is not cool. They're changing my
under
name
nicknames,
to Grilled Cheese.
Grilled Cheese. You are listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, a radio.com sports station. Good morning and welcome to your 8 o'clock hour of Joe Lowe and Dibs here on 95.7
wow.
The Game. It is great to have you with us. What are you laughing at?
Lorenzo once took 50 shots of Fireball on a golf course with O.J. Simpson.
Wow.
Where's that located? Right at the top?
Yeah, it's at the bottom of the top paragraph.
Oh, I'm going to keep refreshing this all day screenshotting everything.
Stop it, you guys. Stop it.
Yeah, this is crazy.
The last two sentences on his Wikipedia profile. Neal blocked for a 1,000-yard running back in 11 straight seasons from 1997 to 2007. Lorenzo once took 50 shots of Fireball on a golf course with O.J. Simpson.
God. That's something that went from something positive. You get that, just turned it into just.
Who could have seen that coming?
Look at the picture. Lorenzo Grilled Cheese Neal.
Oh, my God.
This is my greatest day on radio. I've never enjoyed this job more ever than I am right now.
Steven, stop.
I'm crying.
Steven, can you do something to stop this madness? They're tearing up my Wikipedia page. Everyone's going crazy on there.
Someone at Wikipedia is probably radioing like his supervisor. We got a lot of activity on this Lorenzo Neal account today.
Exactly.
A lot of stuff going on this account.
I cannot believe that they allow this to happen.
It's America. This is Trump's
born
America.
In the move. This is just bad.
Are you seeing this?
I'm watching the
text. You're just
line.
Watching the text.
No, he's watching the text
just
line,
going
yeah.
crazy.
I'm getting this screenshot in. The Dude, grilled cheese and the O.J. Simpson thing is just.
Put this O.J. 50 shots with O.J. Come on, people.
I'd be worried about being associated with him like that. I'd be worried about that. Now, I'm not. I don't know how to go in and change it. Otherwise, of course, I would. You know that. But I don't know how it works. So I'm just going to hope, wink, that someone does that. This is amazing to watch in real time. Every time I refresh, something crazy has happened.
510, thank you. Yeah, these guys are sick.
Okay,
right.
the location has changed again. His birthplace is now The Hamper, California.
Oh, wow.
His nickname has now changed. Lorenzo Shiny Head Neal. Huh. Every time you refresh it, you get new surprises.
Man.
What are you guys doing to Wikipedia?
Okay, final two sentences. Final three sentences has changed too.
Look at this dude.
Neal blocked for a 1,000-yard running back in 11 straight seasons from 1997 to 2007. Lorenzo once took 50 shots of Fireball on a golf course with O.J. Simpson, the third star on the best radio show, Joe Lowe and Dibs.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Have you ever seen such brilliance?
Thanks,
play
Paul
out
Wade.
In real
Not
time?
Cool. Exactly. You guys are just.
This must be what it was like to watch Einstein work when he was in his prime. Like if you were allowed to just sit in his lab and watch him do his thing. Sir Isaac Newton, Socrates, like all those guys.
Tesla before his stuff got taken.
How can Wikipedia allow this to happen?
This account's going to have to
get
suspended.
It's just a wide, wide world of the web. It can't monitor every page all the time. I've seen this before, Lo, in some instances.
They're going crazy with this stuff.
They're going hog wild.
They got him at 356 pounds now.
Now that they missed him.
I'm supposed to be talking about this Niner game. I can't get off this every time I refresh this page.
Can we get into Patrick Willis and the Raiders?
If you're just sitting around right now, you should have his page up and you should just hit refresh every 15 seconds because it's high comedy.
It's like a group think of the billions all chiming in with their own contributions.
I thought you people loved me out there. This is crazy.
You've no longer taken the 50 shots of Fireball with O.J. Simpson. It's now with Bruce Jenner.
Oh, wow. Too early. That's not even close to being right.
Fellas. Position, fullback, once opened can of whoop on Chad Okobono in the cage match.
I'm surprised. Did you see the 510? Lorenzo Dick LeBeau. Wow.
Career history, Joe Fortenbaugh's daddy. The whole thing is messed up.
Why? Because you started this. You made
Early
them
years,
people do this.
Neal still owns the California state record for fastest pin in a match against Michael Weiser, although he did suffer a crushing defeat against Olympic wrestler Kurt Angle. I don't know. That may have actually already been there.
No. This stuff is crazy.
I don't know what to do.
We should start.
I don't know
about
what to do right now.
Which Raider and Niners got the best chance of making it to the Hall of Fame?
That's interesting. That's an interesting.
I'm really
one.
Not interested in
should
that.
Should Lincoln go over P. Willie, if you looked at what Niners more deserving in your opinion, Dibs, if you're looking at it. Joe's as he's
you know what, you guys
folder.
Go ahead, you have the conversation. Yeah. I'm just gonna sit here.
I was gonna ask you this.
Your opening paragraph just keeps getting bigger and bigger because people are adding sentences.
It's nonstop right now.
Steven's back there, can't even keep up.
If you could have one thing in your football career, would it be to have won the Super Bowl or would it be to go into the Hall of Fame?
I'd rather go to honestly, if you said what would I rather do, I'd have that ring. I don't know if you get a ring for the Hall of Fame.
I think you might. You get the jacket and the bust.
Yeah.
Imagine that guy having to carve that grilled cheese in the whatever that's made out of, granite, marble. I don't know.
They'd have to start earlier than normal.
They've probably already been working on it. That's why it's taking so long.
They want to get it right, coach.
Dibs. It's like Dibs. Michelangelo's David.
The moment he appears on the nomination list, the guy who does it, I better order more bronze in case Neil makes it through this year.
How did grilled cheese get in the Hall of Fame? Oh, wait, that's Lo Neil.
Lorenzo the Beast Neil is your official, your new nickname.
Yeah, leave that alone. Leave it like that.
And you do have people supporting you now. The Final Sense, one of the kindest persons on terrestrial radio. He owns a Ferrari and a Yugo.
Can throw a turnip 30 yards.
Come on, is that in there?
Yeah, you got to refresh. You got to refresh.
That's on the Wikipedia. Are you kidding me?
I'm just sitting here. Turnip 30 yards.
Now it's Lorenz the Beast O'Neill.
Yeah.
Someone got to that as well.
Oh, my God.
The worst thing that could have ever happened to you is getting on this Hall of Fame ballot.
The worst thing, you don't want to got people doing it. You did this.
Well,
you turned this into go on there and change it. And then they changed it to 386. But you know what, Dibs? I think emotionally, as far as excitement, to be fired up and exciting for the moment, like in your life, it'd be the Super Bowl for that moment.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? To be out there, the lights flashing, know that you finally achieved the Super Bowl, and know you said, my God, I get, and you're doing it with the teammates and guys that you've been around, that you know what you worked so hard to get and do, and something that eluded so many people. That right there is ultimate at the moment, without a doubt, without a doubt. But then if you say over the history and long term, I think that you're talking about something that's engraved history that you did.
Right.
You know, that just takes away all the team, the help, everything else. And it's about what you were able to do in a league that's been so wonderful, a league that's been had over 100 years of rich tradition. That's when you say, wow, long term, that Hall of Fame, sort of like being in that sort of like that football heaven, football fraternity.
Yeah.
You would pick the Hall of Fame over the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Looking back now, he's saying, but in the moment,
yes,
to have the Super Bowl ring. But now as a 48-year-old, 365 pounds at one point, according to Wikipedia.
Everything was good. We're doing this. Is going well.
We're doing great.
Okay.
We're doing great.
Okay.
I shouldn't have thrown that aside in there.
I was actually trying to jump back in on content, too, there.
So you
noticed.
You were doing a great job.
You noticed.
He noticed. That's, you know, because I asked the real question.
You were doing a great job of describing what I was telling you from the then to the now. It's totally different perspective. If you told me when I'm playing ball and I'm in that moment to win the Super Bowl would be hands down over the Hall of Fame without a doubt, because you worked, you know what the off season's like, you know what training camp's like, you know what the season, the ups and downs, the ebb and flow of the game, and to win that and to cry on the field, to be with your brothers that night, to be around and say, we did it! I got a ring! I won the Super Bowl! That would be right now. That's what it would have been. But now fast forward to where you're at now,
right?
To say, man, to be in football heaven, to understand
you
you're
always
in
call
Hall
it
of Fame.
Football heaven.
That's what the guys call it.
That's
man.
Not just you. That's everybody.
Everyone calls it. You know, it's in the Hall of Fame. Like, dude, to be a part of that football heaven, which it's very, 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 very elitist.
I'm going to read one more edition that's been made, and then we're going to move on. We're going to move on. Justin Smith at 8:30. One more edition. It's the final line that was added. Famously coined the phrase "the Meta," short for Alameda, California.
Wow!
Leave that.
Now that's in writing.
Leave that in there.
Yeah, that's okay. That I love stay. That. That could be the opening line.
Early years, it does say "loves eggs thrown at him at parades."
Oh,
that's in there.
Wow.
So just,
okay, so we're gonna.
I know. I had.
I don't know if I've ever had more fun in my life.
I cannot believe you got the billions.
Yeah, billions of listeners. You got to figure a few of them know how Wikipedia works.
It's a fascinating tug of war, though, between people who are trying to do right by you and those who are trying to do wrong.
Wikipedia is like, what is going on?
What is
Lorenzo
going on?
Neil page today.
Oh, it's cool.
All right, Justin Smith at 8:30. Raiders Chiefs tickets to give away at 8:45. Man versus Machine right after that. Bob and the Billions, and we got Lowe versus Dibs to close the show. Niners find themselves as a 2-point underdog heading into this game on Sunday against Cincinnati. I don't like the game at all for the Niners. I'm going to be completely honest. Last week, I liked the game a little bit. This week, I don't like it at all.
Understood.
In Vegas, you have what's called the look-ahead line. It's a point spread that comes out a week before the game. Then what you do is you take that and you compare it to the new lines that surface once the game is played. So, for example, this past Tuesday, the look-ahead lines for Week 3 came out. Let's see how everyone plays on Sunday, and then when the new lines resurface, we'll compare them. We'll look for the over-adjustments. For example, going into Week 1, Baltimore was a 9.5-point favorite over Arizona for Week 2 on the look-ahead line. Then the games were played, and Baltimore resurfaced as a 13.5-point favorite. That's a 4-point move, right? This is overreaction week in the NFL. You saw it last night. Tampa Bay went out and proved everyone wrong. This is where the smart guys make their money, by betting against what they saw in Week 1. Here's where it gets scary for the Niners. The Bengals lose, the Niners win, and the line moves dramatically to Cincinnati. Last week, the Niners were a 2.5-point favorite at Cincinnati. The Niners went out and won. The Bengals went out and lost. And now the Bengals are a 2-point favorite. That's a 4.5-point move. That is very telling. And like we've been mentioning all week, this is a big spot for Cincinnati. They opened on the road at Seattle. Next week, they're at Buffalo, then at Pittsburgh. It's the only home game in the opening month of the season. It is a game they have to win. They have to win this game. And it turns out they appear to be a team that's better than a lot of people were giving them credit for, based on how competitive they were in Seattle. So going into this game, I'm going to be completely honest. I know we'll do it officially, man versus machine, at 8:46-ish. I don't like the Niners' chances this week. This is the game where Garoppolo is going to have to shut people up. Even if he's not ready, he's going to have to win this game, because I think you'll get a solid defensive performance. But you're going up against this new coach in Zach Taylor. There's not a lot of tape. He had Dalton thrown 50-plus times last week in a game that was close, within one score pretty much the whole way.
Absolutely. And this is a game that if you don't get to 25, you don't win this game. 24 is the bare minimum. I do not see this Niner defense holding them under 21. That is the number. You got to get to 24. 24 or more. And that's going to win the ball game. If they don't get that, then chalk it up as a loss. They're going to have to score, Dibs. And you know, you say 20. Think about it. That's not four touchdowns. That's a touchdown a quarter. If you can hold them to three touchdowns and a field goal, you can get that 25, then you win this game. I think that is the bare minimum. I just don't see you're able to hold Cincinnati to less than that. They're gonna be open. They're gonna be wide open. You're playing on the road. The fans are going to be behind them. They're going on the road, like you're alluding to, Joe. You got the redhead pistol. You're still going to be out there. You're going to be playing hard. Defense is going to be flying around. I think you're going to have some big plays. I guarantee there will be a touchdown over 50 yards. I think over 50-yard touchdown this week. That's what I. That, if you had said
there'll be a prop, there'll be an over under like 41 yards, 38 yards on the longest touchdown. You think there'll be a big play touchdown?
Yes, without a doubt.
I like that,
because here's the thing: both these defenses are aggressive. The Niners are aggressive. They're going to play some man. You're going to get some time. You don't be surprised if you see Goodwin streaking down it can Jimmy hit him. You're going to have some guys have an opportunity to use and showcase their speed on both teams. It's going to happen, Dibs.
Yeah,
it's going to happen.
It'll be interesting as it pertains to the Bengals defense. They were dead last year in total defense. And as we go behind enemy lines, as I like to do, I was reading some of the work at Cincinnati.com. And the defense is playing with a chip on its shoulder, because they know last year where they ranked, and they were tired of that. And you see it in Week 1. They go out there, 4 sacks, 16 pressures, 5 QB hits. This defense is playing with a ferocity that you didn't see last year. So to the offensive line, Justin Smith, McGlinchey, and the rest of the crew, they're going to have to keep Jimmy G upright, because to your point, Cincinnati's going to play very aggressively. You watch the Seattle tape. They brought both corners on a couple of different plays, bringing 7 to the quarterback, which it's going to be a handful for the Niners to protect, with Breida not maybe the greatest pass blocker.
You're right.
What are reasonable expectations for Breida this week? Here's your chance to start, right? The deck's been cleared. He's headed after this year to restricted free agency. Not unrestricted, but restricted free agency. So this is a big spot for him against Cincinnati in Week 2.
It is. Make a catch to the receivers and make somebody miss. Because this is what you alluded to, Daniel. Guys are going to be bringing pressure. Cincinnati, bringing corner cats, doing some blitzes. Somebody's going to be in man coverage. You might catch the ball in front of them. Can you make a miss and create a big play? Breida, Joe, he's going for if you set the number 75, I'm taking the over. If you set me a number for a Breida rushing 75, I'm taking the over. I really believe they're going to be able. They got to run the ball. Play action is going to be big. Breida total yards, everything. He's going to be over 100. He's going to be over 100 pass rushing. He's going to be over 100 this week. Lock it up, Daniel.
Those are big numbers.
It is.
If you move to the receiving core, I know we played receiver roulette yesterday. Someone's going to have to step up. Like, if you want your quarterback to become a franchise quarterback worthy of the contract that so many want to hold him to, which is fair, you're going to need some receivers to step up and make plays on a consistent basis. Dante Pettis playing two snaps isn't going to help anybody on the 49ers. Deebo Samuel, young guy. Fumbling, that's going to happen, but they're going to have to clean it up. If you want an opportunity to be 2-0 for the first time since, I think it was 2012, the Super Bowl year was the last time they started 2-0. They've only been 2-0 three times this millennium. Three times since the year 2000 have they been 2-0. You're going to have to play a cleaner brand of football, and you're going to have to get some receivers to step up. I don't know what to expect, though. What am I supposed to expect from Dante Pettis this week? Shanahan's been saying all week, you know, he shouldn't only have two snaps. That's on me. Well, does he change that this week? And by change it, I mean not six snaps. I mean like 40 snaps.
Yeah,
he's going to be a big part of the offense.
He has to. He absolutely has to. And maybe the groin was ailing him a little bit, but you haven't heard any of the coaches mention that as a reason why he didn't get more than two snaps. He just kind of got lost in the shuffle. Based on the comments that Kyle Shanahan had about Deebo Samuel and the learning curve and, you know, maybe him not seeing as much time this weekend, you would imagine that Pettis is going to take on the lion's share of that. We all were talking about Dante Pettis in the preseason as maybe being the number one receiver on this team, and yet he goes out there and he has two snaps. Marquise Goodwin, one catch. Deebo fumbled the ball. You got to see a lot more from this receiving core. I know that James Jr. had the one big catch, but otherwise, he didn't do anything else either. Kendrick Bourne, one catch. You got to get more, because if you're Cincinnati, wouldn't you just try to take away George Kittle at every turn?
Yeah, you'd have to figure, you'd be saying what the Patriots say every week they go up against the number one. It's Antonio Brown's not going to beat us, right? Every time they play Pittsburgh, that's what they would say. They went into the Super Bowl, Todd Gurley's not going to beat us. Their goal is to take away the best player on the other team. They want to make you play, Belichick says this all the time, they want to make you play left-handed, right? So if you're going up against the Niners, the first thing you're thinking is, if we can take George Kittle out of this game, if we can really limit what he does, that's going to force the Niners into something that probably makes them a little bit more uncomfortable. That's where someone else needs to step up. The question is, who's that individual?
Right.
Who can step on a consistent basis and deliver? Because if Deebo Samuel goes out there and catches six passes for 100 yards and a touchdown, come Monday morning, a lot of Deebo Samuel jerseys are going to start flying off the shelves, if you know what I mean. People are just waiting for someone to emerge at wide receiver. Conversely, Akello Witherspoon, if memory serves me correctly, was the highest-rated cornerback according to Pro Football Focus in Week 1. Now, I don't know if that's actually true in terms of whether or not he was the best, but he was damn good. Damn good with that game-sealing pick six as the cherry on top of the performance. But this week, is he going to be able to do it again? This was a big question mark coming into the season. The corner playing opposite Richard Sherman. And because of some injuries, it's opened the door for Witherspoon to grab the job and to maintain the job. He looked good against Tampa Bay when he was trying to mark Mike Evans. But now he's got to find a way to do it again. They cannot get beat by John Ross deep in this game. That's
no.
What ended up burning Seattle for the better part of last Sunday.
Yeah, the answer to your first question is, with Kittle, Cincinnati says, hey, I don't care if the guy's not catching over three balls. And how are we going to do that? We're going to vice him. We're going to double him. We're going to make sure he doesn't catch more than three. And someone else has to beat you. And I think that the Niners have some guys that, athletic-wise and talent-wise, they can. I think it's above the shoulders for the receivers. It's above the shoulders. Can they all be on the same page? Can Jimmy G trust them? Can they trust him? Can they run the right routes? Are they going to be able to read coverage on the way out? Are they going to be able to create space and do the things? Athletically, I see the receivers they have that they can do it. Can they do it mentally? That's yet to be seen. When you're talking about who's going, what about Witherspoon? When you're talking about a cornerback, Joe, I watched him very close last week. He's playing technique. Richard Sherman's had rubbed off on him. Watch the guys how they do. They line up straight up on the guys, and then watch how they turn their back to the sideline, and then they shuffle. They shuffle in with these corners. They're shuffling with the receivers. I like the technique that they're starting to play. Like Richard, he first lines up on them. Then you see him turn his back to the sideline, and then he's shuffling. So now he's keeping his eyes on the quarterback, understanding that watching the quarterback as he's shuffling and gathering. And that's why Richard Sherman was able to close on that interception. understood it's a running back, Dibs. When you line up a running back out there at wide receiver, it's Wilsey, they run a hitch route. It's 6 yards in a hitch. And you let the quarterback throw to the long side of the field. The reason why they do that gather step like that, they look like they're playing off technique. Quarterback's not staring because they're looking at the quarterback. The DB has gotten their eyes on their work. Quarterback thinks that line, that running back's open. Both these quarterbacks, ill-advised throw. You can't throw that ball. Both those corners were able to get a pick six. Both teams. Jimmy G did it. So did Winston. Weatherspoon has been playing a lot better. I think they're gathering a lot better. Their attention to detail. He got in some foot races with Mike Evans. They're running stride for stride. And I talked about it earlier this season. Will they blink? Will they be? Because sometimes they're running step for step, and then they don't trust their technique, and they start grabbing. They start hitting. They start tugging on jerseys. And then that PI, if you can run step for step, and you know that once he goes a roll, you put that off shoulder and run with him, and now he's got to run through it. And then once he runs through it, you're running step for step. And when he looks back, you understand the ball's in the air. All you do is look back and lean into him. Trust the technique. I saw that by Weatherspoon. Can they continue to do that? Only time can tell.
Football Friday brought to you by Oaks Card Club. Play it smart. Play at Oaks and Xfinity. As always, you can hit us up on the Chilton Auto Body text line at 95795. We'll take your text. We'll take your calls. Tamir in Oakland on the line. Tamir, thanks for your patience. Welcome to the show. Floor is yours. Fire away.
Hey, what's up, guys? I just wanted to call, give Lowe a shout-out because I always mess with him, but I want to congratulate him and say congrats for being on the list of the Hall of Fame.
You know I love you, bro. I give you a hard time, too.
I know. It's all love. But, Joe, you should the picture you took of him on Wikipedia, you should put that on the shirt where it says the Mo.
Oh, wow.
And then we can wear those, too.
Wow. Wow, you get, yeah, you're turning into these guys, huh? Wow.
Tamir, you're welcome here anytime. He led off with the compliment and the niceties, and then on brand, he took a shot.
I did not put an image up of you on there, just to be clear. Okay. There's an image up of you. It's you smiling, looking like you're having a good time.
Looking good, yeah.
Picture of you.
And
look
by
good.
The way, order's been restored. Everything is as it should be. You're no longer hailing from Mexico, which, by the way, is how this whole thing started.
Yeah.
The hilarity of NFL, the ProFootballHallOfFame.com lifting that straight from Wikipedia, because as we've learned today, today's takeaway is Wikipedia is not law. It's the Wild West out there.
Also, I think a thank you is in order.
Perhaps.
Because it said you were from Mexico, and we effectively got that changed for you. So anytime you're ready,
yes!
Let us know.
Did they change it to the right thing, or did you
it's
get
all correct, everything.
Oh, thank you.
It says you're born in Lemoore, so anybody out there who's right-minded and supportive of Lowe, it's actually Hanford. If you wouldn't mind making this last change, we'd all appreciate that. From all of us to all of you, thank you, and drive safely.
Yeah.
And you're welcome.
Funny.
Yeah.
That was funny. I had a good time watching you guys. Watching Joe just friggin' almost fall out of his chair. Just
well,
laughing.
The whole point was to get it changed back to the original. Right?
To Baja, California?
The problem said no. The problem, it said you were from Baja, were 276 pounds, there were a lot of mistakes. So in a roundabout, creative, fun way, we got it all changed back for you. We got it back to exactly where you wanted it. And I still have noticed that even a minute after bringing it up, you still have not thanked anybody.
I said thank you.
No, it doesn't seem honest.
You know what? It's probably not. It's probably not.
This is what you get.
And
this is why no one in America is out there helping each other. Because you do something nice like this, God forbid you have a little fun while you're doing a favor.
Yeah. Tried to do my brother a solid here, trying to fix this. Spending all my free time yesterday driving your case to Canton. And this is the thanks I get?
We're sending. What's the email? Okay, what's the website against?
ProFootballHOF.com. Vote early and vote often for America's favorite fullback, Larry Centers.
Seriously, though, if you have a chance, go, hit refresh, vote for Lowe, get as many in there as possible. Who knows? This thing happens. Maybe we just load up a Partridge Family bus and take as many listeners to Canton, Ohio as possible.
Look at you with the 40-year-old reference.
Man.
Nothing I would rather do in the month of August than go to Canton, Ohio.
Partridge Family, that was good.
That was great.
Yeah, and that is that. It's brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full-service banking, no compromises. Justin Smith, the Cowboy, he's also on the list. He's coming up next. Then we've got Raider Chief tickets to give away. Man versus Machine. Big final 90 minutes coming up. But first, here's nice guy Stephen Langford with what's coming up on the game.
Thanks, Joe. What's coming up on the game is sponsored by Chilton Auto Body. The 49ers are getting ready for the Bengals while the Raiders stay home to face the Chiefs on Sunday. But there has been some trade news. Miami Dolphins safety Micah Fitzpatrick has been given permission to seek a trade. What is his trade value? Well, the guys asked 95.7 The Game NFL insider Adam Kaplan that, and he said this.
It's a guy you'd rather have in your offseason where you can get him into your defense and figure it out. It's just not easy to make trades like this. There's a belief around the league they'll want at least a first-round pick because this guy was a first-round pick. And he's a terrific player.
Now, 49ers defensive end Nick Bosa was a non-participant at practice this week. Should they limit his snaps if he does play this Sunday? And what's to make of this 49er offense? The guys will ask former 49er Eric Davis at 9:30. Take Jolo and Dibs on the go. Download the Radio.com app and favorite 95.7 The Game. Whether it's a major collision or just a scratch or a door ding, Chilton Auto Body's 11 convenient Bay Area locations are just a call or click away. Stop in or schedule an appointment today at ChiltonAutoBody.com. That's ChiltonAutoBody.com. Coming up next, the Cowboy 49er legend, Justin Smith with the guys. I'm Stephen Langford, 95.7 The Game.
Joe Lowendibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
We go to the dial pad guest line. Five-time Pro Bowl defensive lineman for the San Francisco 49ers, Justin the Cowboy Smith, making his return to Joe Lowendibs on 95.7 The Game. Cowboy, first and foremost, congratulations on finding yourself on the Hall of Fame ballot. How's it feel?
Oh, feels great, man. Wasn't really expecting it or anything like that, and got some texts from some guys yesterday, so that was cool. That was real cool.
You look at the names on there and the list of players, and we got Lo Neal here, your former teammate, who's on there as well. That's got to be a pretty special honor to just be put among the 122 names on this list, isn't it?
Oh, man, you go through that list, you know, like I said, talk about the Bengal years, Lo Neal and Willie Anderson and Taquio Spikes, Corey Dillon. We just got to figure out why we didn't win more.
Shooter, yeah, Shooter, you missed your calling, man. You should be doing some stand-up comedy. Hell, Shooter, you're right. We couldn't buy a game. That's because those britches you were wearing was always so tight, wearing them old cowboy boots.
It looked like we was all playing in cowboy boots or skates.
too many trips to the office on Tuesday. Hey, Justin, two teams that you played for, the Cincinnati Bengals and the San Francisco 49ers. Both these teams are trying to change the way that, you know, of yesterday years when the Bengals used to be great and also when the Niners were great when you were on those teams. What do you look for when you see two teams trying to find their way and try to become dominant in the National Football League?
Oh, well, I mean, looking at those two teams right now, they're defensive-led teams. I mean, the Niners, watching them play, they have a defense, man. They're fun to watch. DeForest in the middle there, I think he's one of the better ones to play in a while, and he's wrecking shop. And then for the Bengals, Geno Atkins and the defense they have around him, it's kind of fun to watch. People don't like watching them because they don't put up a ton of points, but I love watching it. They're defensive football teams.
Justin the Cowboy Smith with Joe Lowendibs on 95.7 The Game. It's only one game into his young career, but Nick Bosa, the number two overall pick out of Ohio State, did record a sack against the Buccaneers last week. He's dealing with this high ankle sprain that's kept him out of practice. How important is practice for a young pass rusher at this stage of his career? Obviously, you don't want to further aggravate the injury, but how much is he missing out on getting set for some of these games?
Well, I mean, he looked pretty polished from just watching him play. I mean, the pass rushes he was beating them on, it was all hands, and he's not a bull rush guy. So he's got some moves to him and some shake, some tenacity, stuff like that. I think he's going to be fine. He's got to break the Toradol out on him. He'll be all right.
Give him a little bit of that pregame feel good.
How important
is it for he and D Ford in particular to be out there playing together? It seemed like when you were on the field with the Niners with Alden Smith, you both thrived on each other and being out there together.
Well, I think it just helps having two really good outside rushers that they can't just focus on one or the other. You know, you can't just chip or slide completely him, and then you got DeForest in the middle. They got to worry about chipping him. I'd be more concerned about chipping on the inside on him than I would be those guys. Just have the quarterback step up in the pocket. But I mean, they got a complete D line. I mean, they're good.
You're absolutely right, and that's what Tampa Bay did. They doubled DeForest Buckner quite a bit last game and tried to stop that middle rush that you're alluding to. How is it with the games when you're on the same page? I know people talk about you and Alden. What you guys were able to do when you watch, you know, DeForest Buckner, and he can slide play either side and with Ford and with Nicky Bosa. What does the games do? What does it do to the offensive line? How is it give you guys the advantage, and where were you guys so successful doing it?
Well, I think the biggest thing they got going now is you got those two speed guys on the outside. That doesn't matter if you don't have an inside push, and that quarterback can just step up and get away from that outside rush. So they've got all the pieces in place. I mean, those guys would be a lot less effective if they didn't have that inside push. And he has given them that, so they should be dominant on the outside this year.
Justin Smith joining us here on 95.7 The Game. You're on the Hall of Fame ballot. Lowe's on the ballot. Patrick Willis, who we mentioned, a teammate of yours, he's on the ballot as well. He had an unbelievable career when he was on the field, but the case against him is that he only played 8 seasons, 7 of which were Pro Bowl seasons, but people will say the career wasn't long enough to warrant a spot in Canton. What do you say to that argument?
I mean, is it based on how long you play or how good you were when you played? I mean, if it's based on just being the best while you're playing, I mean, he's for sure a lock-in. I mean, as far as speed and just how that guy would square people up and take their soul every time they hit them, I've never seen a guy that could square guys up no matter how he was running at them, what angle he was running at, and get a full helmet through their chest, run through tackle like he did. I mean, it was unbelievable.
Do you have any Patrick Willis stories that jump to mind when his name's mentioned? Like maybe it was late in a game or a speech in the huddle or just a play he made that swung a game at some point during your time together?
I would say the biggest one that I remember was when I first got there and played. I mean, I didn't really know much about the guy. He's only a rookie the year before I got there. And we were playing Seattle. And, I mean, they were driving on us forever. And he picked one off. We were all dead tired, and he outran everybody, receivers, everybody, and I could only make it like 10 steps down the field while he ran 85 yards. So that's just a little bit of type of guy he was, the heart he had, and how he could play through anything, man, and he didn't get tired, and his speed, his tenacity, and just how he led himself on and off the field was good to see.
It seems like he might be a victim of the numbers game. I know this year they're expanding the Hall of Fame class to 20, most of whom will be older players from days gone by. Do you think that they should expand the number of Hall of Famers that they let in? Because you look at the names on this list, there's going to be a lot of disappointed superstars.
Yeah, I mean, be honest with you, I really don't know anything about that process or who even votes on it. I mean, you're asking the wrong guy. I have no clue.
No, exactly. Just happy to be on the list. Offensively, I don't know if you had time to watch a lot of the Niners. And you're talking about Geno Atkins and what he brings to the defense on Cincinnati. What can you expect? What can you expect from this offense? What if you're looking at a defense that's built like that? You know where Geno's at. How do you try to exploit something like that? What is something the Niners can do to try to combat that that type of style of play?
I really am not that familiar with the inside guys that the Niners have in their line. I mean, know Joe Staley really well. You know, he's been locking it down for a long time, but he won't be on them. So I think you got to double down on that guy. You got to make sure that your quarterback can step up in the pocket, and you got to kind of try to stalemate that guy at the line, and I don't know if they'll be able to do that consistently with the way he plays.
No question. Hey, Justin, I tell you right now, it's always great to jump in on the show and hopping on with us. Congratulations on the nod to Hall of Fame, man. You deserve it. Great player, great man, great person. I'm honored to say that you're my friend. I really am, cowboy. Really am.
Same goes to you, Lo. I don't know how you're not in yet, buddy.
Hey, Shooter, we're going to keep fighting, Shooter. We're going to keep fighting. All right, Shooter?
Thanks, Justin. We appreciate you coming on the show. Have a great weekend.
All right, man. I appreciate it. Thanks.
Justin Smith with Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. You guys were together for, was it just a couple years, just one year in Cincinnati?
Yeah, 2 years in Cincinnati together. He's, you know, I think number 12 pick overall and drafted him to Cincinnati and got a hell of a year. Got after it, played outside DN, and he got after it.
for you guys to have been on the same team for such a short time together, because you were only in Cincinnati for 2 years.
Yes, that's right.
And for you to be offense and him defense, you've had this friendship for a really long time. So you must have connected at some point, because everyone just assumes all teammates are great friends.
No,
they're not. There's
no.
A lot of you in there. You have different groups. You don't necessarily see each other in all the meetings. But you guys turned out to be pretty good friends, it sounds
really
like.
Really good friends. Yeah, a lot of guys you don't even talk to. Some of the other guy who played the other defensive end, don't talk to, don't have desire necessarily to talk to. I mean, just, you know, a lot of guys you just played with them.
You're just co-workers.
Right? I mean, the Richmond Webb, loved. Miami Dolphins, offensive tackle, came over, older guy, loved Richmond Webb. Tequila Spikes, loved the guy. Corey Dillon, absolutely. And he was one of those guys on defense, Tequila Spikes, that I knew that I had to go against. So at practice and stuff. So you want it. You know you have to go hard, especially in training camp. And you respect guys that bring it. And Justin's one of those guys you knew you didn't have to go against, and he's going to go hard, and you just respect him. Afterwards, you get that respect that first year. Here's a guy that doesn't want anything, just wants to win. You go to dinner, you hang out, and he's like, man, you started the name, that's the name, Cowboy. He'd come in his booth, and just cool, could get along, understood the dynamics of locker room, and you see a guy that would stand up when he needed to. A lot of guys, you know, they want to – a lot of guys will try to punk guys. Rookies come in and try to see where they're at. He was one of those guys, okay, you see him stand up to certain guys and think bullies, guys that necessarily weren't great players, but thought that they had that bravado, built like Tarzan, played like Jane, you know, and they try to try to infect or try to be in that guy's ear, and he's like, no, that's not how I go. I'm going hard, shooter. I'm sorry. I'm playing ball. You know, and that's who he
was. Was that his thing, calling people shooter?
Yeah. We always called people shooter.
And like once, you and coach. And yeah, coach, exactly. Buddy.
And when you get a guy like that and you see right away, he's not backing down.
Right.
He's going to stand up for what he believes in. He's not going to let a Richmond Webb, who should be like a Hall of Famer.
And nominated. He's on the list.
Is he?
Yes, he
is. Great offensive tackle, Joe. This dude would maul guys. And he would give him fits. When you see those things happening, just like Nicky Bosa when he did to Joe, what did Joe do? Joe quickly grabbed him and said, I like this guy. You want guys that fight. So that's kind of that dynamics, Joe, how we became
I'm trying to imagine you going head up literally with Tequila Spikes in practice. Your head and neck and shoulders and traps against.
Neither guy has a neck.
Yeah. No,
probably because
both
of going
of
one-on-one.
With the traps and the neck and the head and the power. And this is, you know, your teammate in training camp, and you guys are both lunch pail guys who are going to bring it no matter if it's July, August, or January.
We knew.
Hold your thought. Don't mean to interrupt. We've got tickets to give away. We got Man versus Machine. We got Bob and the Billions. But right now, we do have some breaking news.
95.7 The Game breaking news. Powered by Radio.com Sports and brought to you by Indeed. Post a job today at Indeed.com/hire.
From his own personal Twitter account, Golden State Warrior Sean Livingston is retiring from the National Basketball Association. He made the announcement today. Sean Livingston retiring from the NBA. Hell of a career right there. One of the three wise men, an integral role in everything the Warriors have done over the last five seasons. Will always go down as one of the all-time favorites, especially at this show. Yep. He was always a cool guy, spending some time with us. I speak about him like it's in the past tense. I don't want to say was a cool guy. Great guy, just retiring from the NBA. I don't think it's much of a surprise, but it does kind of suck to know he's not going to be playing anymore.
It does.
He was always fun to watch out there.
Yeah, he absolutely.
That little turnaround jumper.
Oh, yeah. I'd love to get S. Dot on.
No doubt.
Say bye to the Billions. He was always great, like you said on the show, Joe. Love to get him on, Daniel.
What an unbelievable comeback story. He was straight out of high school. A lot of times we forget that. And he was a phenom player to sustain the injury that he sustained and to be able to make it back to just play, let alone become an integral part of multiple championships. Unbelievable comeback story for S. Dot.
Think about all the elements that come into play with a story like that. You're highly touted, highly recruited to where you're skipping college. And he always told us what the funny story was. He roots for Duke because Duke is where he would have gone.
Right.
But he goes pro. So right there, the expectation and the anticipation for a guy like you is that you are going to be elite. You might not turn out to be elite, but you're going to be elite. So your mindset, you're probably thinking, you know, I'm one of the best in the business. You go out, you suffer that injury. A few things can happen. Physically, you never recover. Mentally and emotionally, you never recover. Or you recover and then you think you should still be one of the greatest of all time and you can't get there and you break down. Or there's what S. Dot did. He rehabbed and he kept playing basketball and he pretty much took on whatever role his team needed. Was never one of those guys that felt the world had wronged him, never complaining, You never heard about him causing issues anywhere. He didn't carry around some big chip on his shoulder about how he's some great talent. And you know how some guys, even though they don't live up to the draft billing, they still walk around as if they're that guy. Like, yeah, well, I was number one overall. I was number two. I was top five pick. Well, you don't play like it, but they don't care. He's never like that. He adjusted. And he turned in an unbelievably lengthy and successful career despite that injury.
Yeah, he was taken fourth overall. You forget that. I'm just looking
he's
at
a
his
high school kid.
I'm looking at his draft class. Dwight Howard, first overall.
D-Ho.
Yeah, I mean, I think you might take Sean Livingston's career over D-Ho as far as championships.
You would say this. Nobody considers Howard a good teammate.
Right.
What's Howard's reputation? I'm sure if you put their box scores together, I'd say, man, Howard, I'd probably rather have this guy. Look at the numbers. Nobody wants Dwight Howard. Do you see the contract he signed with the Lakers? It's one of those, we want to get rid of you as fast as possible if you act like you. That's what the Lakers think of Dwight Howard. That's what the league thinks of Dwight Howard.
Yeah, you had Emeka Okafor, Ben Gordon in that draft. Pretty thin class, top to bottom. And then
Okafor and Gordon coming out, they were on really good college teams.
Yeah, UConn. And, oh. And number nine, the 76ers took Andre Iguodala. So there you
that.
Have it.
He was going to be taking over the mantle from Allen Iverson right around that time.
Of course, the Warriors.
He's a good sixer.
The Warriors settling on the pride of Latvia, Andris Biedrinc, at the 11th pick. He was a fan favorite.
Can't hit on all of them.
Nice little start to his career. Fell apart. Anyway.
All right, some tickets to give away. We just had Justin Smith on the show. He went to 5 Pro Bowls. Lowe is on the show pretty much every day. He went to 4 Pro Bowls, but I realized that's going to be too quick for the callers. So I started reading that, and I should have gone with my backup plan, which was Lowe played 16 years, Justin played 14 years. Callers 14 and 16 to the contest line win the Raiders Chiefs tickets. 844-999-GAME. 844-999-4263. Callers 14 for the amount of years Justin Smith played, and 16 for the amount of years Lorenzo Neal played, will win the tickets to see the Raiders take on the Chiefs Sunday, 1:05 p.m. local time. 14 and 16. 844-999-GAME. 844-999-4263. Yeah.
That game should be some fireworks. That game should be.
Kansas City's been known to put a couple points
just
up.
Just a couple.
Here and there they find that end zone.
Man, and Patty Mahomes played a lot of baseball, and this game will be played on the baseball field, so you would imagine that Mahomes is going to feel pretty comfortable making plays on or around the pitcher's mound.
All right, it is time for the segment that's not sweeping the nation like... Does Low know? But this one's being pretty popular because the fate of the world is in our hands. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for Man vs. Machine.
It's time for Man vs. Machine.
Hasta la vista, baby.
Will the measly humans be able to outsmart the superior machine intellect? Let's find out.
And just remember, it's Man vs. Machine.
All right, you know how we do it. Man versus Machine, brought to you by our friends. We got a new sponsor.
Uh-oh.
Guess who? It's White Claw.
Awesome.
Brought to you by White Claw, EA Sports, and PlayStation. I told you it's a big segment. The White Claw people have been listening to us. They love us. They're on board with Man versus Machine. Because if you're going to lose to the machine and the machine's taking over the world, why not go down drinking White Claw?
Nothing goes down better in the end of the world than a couple of White Claws, Joe. Hi, everybody.
Hey, everybody. All right, so here's how it works. Every week on a Thursday, we take PlayStation and we take EA Sports Madden 20 video game. People that are not on this show sim the game. The game is simmed, and then the results are put into this envelope, the sealed envelope I am holding. While they are in, the results are in this envelope, we are tasked with figuring out who our pick is going to be against the spread for the Niners game. We keep a running tally. Some weeks we might pick the same as the machine. Some weeks we may pick differently. And at the end of the season, we will determine, is it man or is it machine? Thankfully for us, after week one, man had the San Francisco 49ers last week. Machine had the Buccaneers. So it is 1-0 man as of right now. Gentlemen, which way are you leaning?
I'm leaning toward San Francisco in the points. The spread, I think, is what, 1.5 or 2? What are we going with?
For the contest we're all doing against each other with the shows, let's keep it uniform rather than bouncing around. What did Damon use yesterday? Because I know he's off today.
Let me go double check. I have no idea.
Wait, isn't Curly right behind you?
My man.
He read it off to me this morning.
Taking callers.
He's
right
on
now.
The phone.
Yeah, he's right. Taking the contest winners.
We'll figure that out. Why don't you just run down your analysis? Let's say it's two.
Yeah, either way, I think it's a really close game, razor sharp, but I would lean toward the 49ers, I think. Taking the 49ers and the points, having this one maybe come down to a kicker. You got Robbie Gould. I like the Niners' chances. I would lean toward the 49ers, Joe, in this one.
You're leaning to the 49ers. You don't love it, but you're leaning.
Right, especially, okay. And I think it might be a one-point game either way. And I know normally if you take the underdog and it's 1.5 or 2, you should expect them to win the game. You don't often take the underdog and think, oh, I hope they lose by one. But I think it's going to be a razor-close game, so that's why I would take the two.
Just keep it really close. Just right. Keep it really, really right. Close. Lose by one. All right, so Dibs is leaning to the Niners plus the points. Lo, what say you?
I think it's going to be a really good game, too, but I just think that it's tough going on the road, not being home, traveling back-to-back, two tough road games. You got to look at the home team, and you got to give them the edge. You got to take the nanny. Look for them to cover.
You have the Bengals laying the points. Do we have a clarification on what the spread is that Damon used yesterday?
-1.5 to who was it?
I know who it is, the favorite. It's the Bengals. So the Bengals are 1.5. All right, so it's 1.5. You're taking the Niners plus the 1.5, Dibs. Lo, you like the Niners minus 1.5. I guess I'm the tiebreaker here. I'm taking the Bengals. I've laid out the case all throughout the week. The Niners were a 2.5-point favorite on the look-ahead line. It's moved all the way as high as Bengals -2. That's a 4.5-point move to the team that lost last week. That's clearly something that the wise guys in Vegas are trying to tell you. And they're trying to tell you a variety of things. Number one, that was a good loss for Cincinnati last week. A good loss. Cleveland, that's a bad loss. 18 penalties, 3 turnovers, getting blown out at home. Bad loss. You're a double-digit underdog. You go to Seattle in week one against a non-conference opponent. You lose by 1 point, and you're hanging with them the whole way. That's a good loss. This team's better than expected. Back-to-back road games for the Niners. Offensively, are they going to be able to keep up if it turns into a shootout? I think the Cincinnati defense is better than some expected. I lean to Cincinnati here -1.5. So that makes it a 2-on-1 sort of situation. Would you like to add anything else? Because we don't want to force anyone into anything, but if it's 2-to-1, you either have to accept or make a stronger case.
No, I would be happy to capitulate because I think we're all saying similar things. You guys are leaning toward the Bengals winning, but probably a close game, right, Lo?
Oh, yeah.
I don't think anyone's seeing a boating. I could see it either way, so I would be happy to go with the two of you, and we'll take Cincinnati versus the machine. And I think the man could go 2-0, hopefully.
All right, I got the envelope right here. Are we ready?
Yeah, you want a drum roll?
Yes, you can drum roll. The machine. 49ers 20, Bengals 17. The machine has the Niners by 3, which means the machine has the Niners. We are on the Bengals. It's us versus machine again. There is no chance for a push. It's either going to be 1-1 come Sunday afternoon, or we could be up 2-0 on the machine.
Huge.
Skynet.
I'm hoping for the machine this one, guys. I'm hoping for the machine.
Because you want the Niners to win.
Yeah.
And you want the world to be taken over by machines.
No, listen, it's not a sprint.
Thanks, bro.
Or what you could have done was just take the Niners with Dibs. You guys would have been 2-1 against me. We would have gotten the Niners, and then we could all root for the Niners, and it would be a push with the machine.
Man.
It's not a sprint. It's a marathon. And we got 14 more weeks.
So. Yeah. That's a good call.
The machine is going to – very interesting logic, yet not surprising. I'd make fun, but I'm not allowed to because of this.
Do you have any say over what your office was going to look like here? Great question. Yeah.
See it after there. You can go see it. Lo can come. Just Lo.
You know what? Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, that's usually how it is. No,
it takes,
one of the
takes
group.
Too much abuse here. I got to be honest. I listen to you guys.
Now, I love this. You're one of the billions?
You know what? One of the billions.
I know this tune.
I've never heard it before. What is this?
I don't know.
Is this what the Sharks come out to? Is this what they skate out to?
Is this in some way associated with the local basketball team?
I think this is Brandon Crawford's walk-up song.
Yeah. Ooh. Doesn't require a long playlist because, you know, right back to the dugout in most situations. Hey, you throw that out there, I'm going to have to say it. I'm sorry. If you're a college player, I won't take the shot. But if you're a pro, I'm going to take the shot. Welcome to Bob and the Billions. This is the time of day where we shout out our very good friend, Bob Myers. You know him. You love him. He happens to be the president of basketball operations for a little entity in town known as the Golden State Warriors. He is a huge fan of Lorenzo Neal, so huge. We always shout out the elites, people on the Hall of Fame ballot like Lowe, people like Bob, and then gutter trash like Dibs and myself. So if you're gutter trash or elite, hit us up on the Chilton Auto Body text line, 95795. This is where we do all the shout-outs. Ed from Modesto. Look at the Central Valley coming in hot.
Modesto.
Visalia, California. Not even putting a name on it.
Yeah.
Just Visalia, California.
How we do it in Visalia.
Posse in P-Town. Victor from Napa. Uncle Junebug from the Meta County.
Uncle Junebug.
Junebug. Will G from Mervyn's.
Wow.
Was the guy's name Will that knocked you out at the Mervyn's?
I never got the number of the truck that ran me over that day, Joe. Shout out getting punched at the Mervyn's.
Cole and the 7th graders of Montera Middle School
in
Oakland.
That's where my kids went. Montera.
There you go.
What up, Bulls?
Shout out Nestle Waters from Livermore. Hunt and Sons Fuel Drivers from Martinez.
Oh, Hunt and Sons.
Jason from Stockton. Tim C. And my friend Chris Sucks. Nice.
Oh.
Ryan from the Meta.
Ryan from the
Meta. Latoya from San Jose. Ken from Napa. Hotlink in Hayward.
Hotlink.
Zirko, Oakland. Happy birthday, Mama.
Oh, Mama.
Tino and Martinez. The Haystack Garbage Men.
Tino Martinez. Former Yankee.
Gutter Trash, Thomas in Danville. Thomas, you're with us. You can hang out with Dibs and I anytime.
If you're in Gutter Trash, you shouldn't be in Danville.
The Potato Thrower from Oakland.
Shout her out.
Matt from San Francisco. Jason from Hayward. 1800 Radiator, Sacramento.
Oh, Radiator.
Shout out Baja, Mexico.
Baja!
I see you, Baja.
Is that low? Big Ant from the East. The Dump, a.k.a. Fresna. Ooh, I actually didn't mean to read that one. I'm sorry.
That one's not a text of the day.
Cook from Oakland. Rick James, B-Town.
Rick James.
Rusty from Manteca.
Oh, Rusty.
Man, they are pouring in today. And listen, since it's Friday, we do our high school football shout-outs at 9:55. So right around 9:50, 9:55, all the big high school football matchups, start hitting us up, Chilton Auto Body text line. We're shouting out all the high schools. We love high school football. No radio station in the country loves high school football more than this radio station. All right, get organized. Eric Davis is going to join us. We've got previews, some more tomfoolery, Robin Petaluma, Steve from Castro Valley, the Toker from San Mateo.
Oh, the Toker.
Crew, grilled cheese from the hamper.
Oh, cheese
from the hamper.
We're back next. Joe Lo and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.